Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Smågrödorna, go a ka ka ka. Smågrödorna, that was actually a frog drowning. Something that you don't see very often. Glad Midsummer to everyone. Welcome back. It's a Monday. It's after a long weekend. It's the kind of weekend where, because you've got Friday off, you're very confused, aren't you? You just wonder what day it is. Actually, I hope you had an amazing Midsummer. Fy fan, it was cold. And then the next day, fy fan, it was warm. And then it rained. But, I kind of screwed up big time, didn't I? We didn't really have anything planned for Midsummer. I flew back on Thursday night from Frankrike to Sverige. I googled things to do on Midsummer, because we decided we weren't going down to Norrköping. So I looked it up, and I saw in the area where I live, Skärholmen, that I could take my family and we could have a Midsummer where there was pony rides, there was a grill, there was apples, you know, toffee apples. Basically, think of a kid's dream that is like Alice in Wonderland. Fy fan, that was happening. We get there after a 25-minute walk, which is okay because, well, you know, 25 minutes when you've got gold, when you've got treasure at the end. You know, the pirates will walk, won't they? The hobbits will try and find the ring. They're precious. Went all the way there and I'm still in shock. There was nothing happening, was there? Fuck all was happening. Ponies, I mean, it wasn't like the ponies had died and the apples had gone off or the grill was burnt. There was nothing. Basically, shit all. Can I describe this anymore? Zero. Null. Nothing was happening. I then get my phone out in front of my children, in front of my wife. My kids are looking up at me with these eyes of a small hund awaiting some happiness, some happy news. Maybe we'd taken a turn that was wrong. Maybe, Papa, this was all a big secret. Maybe you should have just taken us into the forest. And they're opening there would be a joyful party. But holy fuck, I'd looked up June the 6th, National Dag, and it was still on the website. So celebrations of June the 6th included pony rides. Celebration of Midsummer included nothing. The sadness in my children's eyes was further complicated by the evilness in my wife's eyes. Even I had tears. Even I was like depressed with my stupid decision. So then I then got us on the tunnel banner and I took us to the movies, because the movies, according to the sf.se website, were open. The cinema of a website, which I think is one of the worst I've ever looked at on a phone. It's like having a GPS that just goes, no, not going to tell you. Or, no, you may have reached your destination. Maybe you're not. It's useless. I look on there, it says it's open, get there, go to open the door confidently. I'm in Söder now, in Stockholm, Södermalm. I open the door. That's the sound effect of a door not opening. That's a door shut. Kids now in absolute tears. So I took them to a restaurant. They had the greatest milkshakes ever. Le Cucaracha. You should go there and get some food. If you can hear noise in the background, it's because someone's hammering outside in the neighborhood. That noise has been constant in my head. Think of, you ever been on a train journey or on a long trip and someone's just tapping? You ever had that noise? That's what's been happening. I don't even need that hammering to be happening. Basically, that's what happens in my head. So yeah, I hope you had a great midsummer. Mine was a fucking disaster. And then it was kind of, talking of disasters, I looked at my country of birth and I saw the shit. They've voted, haven't they? They've voted out. 52% leave, get out. They're leaving the EU, apparently. But now the leaders are saying, I don't know, maybe not. And another leader has quit. So then the new leader has said, oh, but maybe what I said before. Somebody quoted, this is an amazing quote, said the promises we made weren't actually promises, they were just selected possibilities. How messed up is that? That's like saying, I promised to take you kids to pony rides and to the movies, and then turning up and there's no horse or no cinema to see. It's just bullshit. So let's hope that something happens. As someone said, I don't think all the people that voted leave are racists, but I think all the racists that voted leave, or all the racists, all the racists voted leave. I think it's a sad, sad state of affairs. I think it's awful. I think it's a very nationalism vote. I think it's bullshit. So that's my pound worth, which if you've got pounds at the moment, sell, 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 sell. The Wolf of Wall Street. Ooh! I think I might have had too much coffee. This episode is episode 45. I sat down with a fantastic comedian. Really funny guy. He's a Swedish Finn or a Finn Swede. He's very Finn Swede, actually. Very slim guy. No, he's Andre Wikström. Andre Wikström. You'll know him for TV over here. And we talked long and we talked hard. We were in Finland together. And again, not much to do in Finland. So why not sit down and chat with a compass? I hope you enjoy this. I really enjoyed this. I think he's a wonderful guy and I think he's a very, very funny comedian. To check him out. Episode 46 will be out next week. I'm going to Coldplay on the weekend, July the 3rd. So that should be good. Probably will rain. It would be inside and I'll take my para-para-para-ply. Terrible joke. So yeah, I'll have a report for you next week. I will probably release it on Independence Day, July the 4th. Viva la America. America doesn't look so stupid at the moment. Not as stupid as the UK. Anyway, for fun, I'm political. I'm like Bono in jeans. But this weekend, on Friday, July the 1st, I'm in a place called Hamburgsund. So check it out. And actually, look at my website, www.alpitcher.com. I'm doing like a mini tour of the West Coast. And we're doing Falkenberg, we're doing Bålsta, Göteborg. I'm not one of those gigs. So you have to find out which one I'm not at. But I need you to come along. The tour is called Västerhust Effekten. Yeah. As you can see, I'm not very good at Svensk. Although, when I went to Nice, very Swedish, wasn't I? Very sunburnt. Very Swedish. My hair went a bit blonde. My skin went a little bit kind of brown, a little bit tanned. Looked kind of beautiful. for about 10 minutes and then it all started cracking. So now I've got a peeling face. Not an appealing face, a peeling face. But it was very nice in Nice. It was Nice and Nice. It was great. It was great fun. And the Swedish fans are brilliant. All the shows I did at Camp Sweden, I enjoyed so much. So I hope we see each other again, Camp Sweden. Until then, let's have a chat with Andre Wikström. I'll be back, not after this podcast, but I'll see you next Monday. And have a great, great week, folks. But firstly, here is my good friend, a wonderful man who wears glasses in a beautiful kind of way, Andre Wikström. We are on.
Okay.
I never quite know. I sort of know it's on, but I have to look there. And I would hate if we kept. You put in how many snooze did you just put in?
One.
Okay. And you put.
See, it's like a
Swedish UEFA summer. Oh yeah.
Yeah, football.
A football edition of snooze.
Yeah.
How wonderful is that? Yeah. That's like a steroid football kit. But you put it on your tongue and then...
Then flick it up there.
Oof. Sexy, but also quite disturbing.
Yeah.
How many of those do you... I'm fascinated by snooze.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends. I mean, if I drink some beer, then I use more for some fucked up reason.
It is a bizarre
thing
that... Alcohol.
It's like cigarettes.
Yeah.
It's somehow it's like, I need another one now.
People are like, social. I'm a social snoozer.
Yeah.
I'm a social snoozer. thank you for coming, man. This is.
There's nothing else to do here.
There.
I mean.
Literally.
Yeah. Nothing else.
But it's quite a summer kind of destination, isn't it?
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. But now the weather is really quite cold and not that nice, so there's actually we're actually sitting here in a internet room with two computers taking away some people's internet time.
Yeah, and do you remember the days when there used to be internet cafes?
Yeah,
and you used to.
Oh, I remember it's really good. I was in New York 2002, my first trip to New York.
Yeah,
and you know, I used internet cafes all the time just to go to coffee and see if somebody would have emailed me something.
Yeah, and it was such a prize to get an email there.
Yeah. It was like winning the lottery.
Yeah, and I still, my parents are still in that world of, I'll check if there's mail.
Yeah.
Now I'm just there and it pops up.
You know? Yeah, but now my smartphone just plings and some asshole just, ugh.
But I remember there was a few times where I went to cafes, like I think I was on holiday in like Thailand or something, and they had like one computer.
Yeah.
And someone had booked it. Someone had it, and you're like, how long do you reckon you'll be on there?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've got a really important MySpace update.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I can't even remember MySpace.
I remember the best story I have about those internet cafes was in 2002 I was in New York, and before I left, Mark Maron, he wasn't as big as he is now.
Yeah, not as big as this podcast, of course.
No. But I emailed Mark Maron because I just went on the website and said, oh, there's like a Mark Maron at Mark Maron, like, or Mark at markmaron.com or something. And I just, because I was a huge fan, I'd seen him on Conan. And I just, hey, hello, I'm a fellow comedian from Finland and I'm coming to New York these dates, this week. Would you happen to have any gigs there then?
Yeah.
You know, sincerely, Andre Wikström.
Yeah.
And then he just answered before. I think it was before I left. That no, sorry, man, I'm not. I live now in LA and or wherever.
Which must have been a buzz as well.
Jesus Christ! Yeah. He answers me, and not anyone. Not like best regards, Kelly.
Yeah.
No, Mark Maron's actually answering me.
Yeah,
And I was like, okay, thanks, man, for answering. And then I just went to the internet cafe one day, and there was like a mail from Mark Maron. I'm like, what the?
Yeah.
Hey, dude. Yeah, I actually we're gonna do a pilot for a TV show this week in New York. So actually I'm gonna be there on Thursday. So I mean, in case I can put you on the list.
Wow.
And I'm like, what? Mark Maron is putting me on the list?
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, man. Where? When? I'm there. Yeah, so he put me on the list, and then I just went there, and it was a huge queue to get in there. And I said, hey, I should be on the list. And I was like, what's your name? Andre Wikström. No. Maybe it's a Mark Maron. No. Oh, but he said he's going to... Oh, that's the queue. So that queue is for people who actually have tickets, and that queue is for people who say they have tickets.
And you were very Finnish about it, like,
yeah.
Head down.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, sir. So I just went, you know, last on a huge queue for just, like, if there would be any seats away. I mean, you see it, no, there's no fucking way. But I just stand there like an asshole and just an idiot. And then I see that Mark Maron and Robert Schimmel is walking by.
Ah.
And I'm like, Mark. And he turns and says, Andre?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because somehow he saw that he's not from here.
You had like a Finnish national dress on.
Yeah, and then he was like, hey, what are you doing here? I mean, you should be... I said, I'm not on the list, man. And he said, what the fuck? Come here. And then me, Mark Maron, and Robert Schimmel walks up to the desk, and he just gives them like a beating for not me being on the list. Yeah, and then I just was, you know, got in and saw
the
workshop.
I told you the Finnish guy was supposed to be on.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. And then it's a pilot.
And the show was shit.
Yeah, the show was like, it was called Confessions. They were, you know, like a stand-up scene. And then they didn't have to do stand-ups, but they would do some kind of stories about some, you know, maybe embarrassing stuff about themselves or about their parents or something. Okay. Mark Maron had really funny stuff, and I think that actually he used them as a stand-up, and at least they're in his book, I don't remember what the book's name. But then yeah, so I just saw it there in 2002, and Patton Oswalt was there, and he did a really funny.
Have you always been a fan of comedy, like American comedy?
Since
I know of you is you're so kind of, you seem to have these names. You go, have you seen old Buffalo Jesus? And I'm like, what? And you're like, yeah, he did a show in the 84. Yeah. You really know your stuff.
I am a comedy wanker.
Yeah.
Really. I enjoy it. I really like it. Since I understood stand-up, the first stand-up I saw was Eddie Murphy Raw. I didn't understand anything. I was waiting for Beverly Hills Cop or, you know, 48 Hours guy
to come up
and do something funny. But it was just him talking on a stage.
In a red...
Yeah, like a leather jumpsuit. Yeah. Yes, it was weird.
And it... Yeah, but it was weird, but it...
I hated it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a... I've never been a massive fan of the macho kind of...
Yeah, but I didn't understand anything. It was just like, it's just him talking on a stage. I don't get it. And, of course, my English wasn't that good in 89 when I saw it the first time. Because I was in Sweden at my uncle's place. And we just... Every night we rented some, you know, VHS. And I saw, hey, it's Eddie Murphy. I like him.
It's a real old school look back pod, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
We're talking about internet cafes.
Yeah, but that's the first time I saw it. But then when I went to, when I was like 14, 15, then someone had it at the school. And then we started watching it again. And then I somehow realized, I understood the jokes. Of course, not all of the jokes. But I mean, then we started doing those jokes, you know, between classes. And then just like, and then I go, oh, wow. And this is really cool. But how I really got into it was it was a Swedish show called Släng dig i brunnen, and that was like 90 or 91. And
that was at Norra Brunn.
Yeah. And that was the first stand-up show in Swedish TV. And we had a Swedish channel that was like somehow, you know, the best from SVT1 and SVT2, some kind of mixed channel that we could see in Finland.
Okay.
And they showed the stand-up show. And that's where Spark really grew, started. You know.
Yeah. And you started here in Finland?
Yeah, 95. I did my first gig.
Yeah. And you've started this whole Lands, which I'm doing tonight with you.
Yeah.
This kind of battle of the nations.
Yeah.
Are you... racist?
No.
Are you? now, are you? It's a really great idea. I actually think other.
We started in 2003.
Yeah.
And I just thought that because there's a landskamp, you know, with the.
Skiing?
No, but with. friidrott, where you know all this javelin and
what would you
call those? That's
track and field.
Track and field, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's always a Finnkamp or with Sweden and Finland in September or is it late August? It's you know, every second year it's in Helsinki and then it's Gothenburg or Stockholm.
Yeah.
But whatever. And I just got the idea from there. What if we could do a Landskamp or a Battle of the Nation between Finland and Sweden in stand up? And it's not a real competition. It's just like it's a good name because it's just boring to say. And here's two guys from Sweden and two guys from Finland doing stand up.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a better, it's a funnier, setting to, you know, say it's like a battle of the nations.
Yeah, and the point, nothing really matters.
No,
but I remember seeing it in Norway. They do it in Norway, and they had like flags and people were kind of. I did it in Turkey, actually, with Jacob Erkfest against two Norwegians.
Yeah.
And they were very unprofessional. That's my phone there.
Yeah.
They were really into winning.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that can that could fuck it up.
Yeah, yeah.
If people took it too seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
As though they were representing their country.
Yeah.
And
I remember the three first years, people actually had flags also in Finland when we did it. You know, like some Swedes had it. But everybody knew that it's not a real competition. It's just like a fucking fun night.
You're a Swedish Finn, aren't you?
Yeah, Swedish-speaking Finn, yeah.
And is that weird?
No. Well, I don't know. I haven't been anything else, so.
But I don't really understand it.
Well, it's like Belgium or Canada, that you have a bilingual country.
So it's like if you're Canadian, you're French Canadian.
Yeah, in a way, yeah. It's like the same, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, we're the minority. We're only 300,000 that has Swedish as their first language. But I mean, all the schools I went in, it was in Swedish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Ah, so I learned Finnish at school and just watching TV. So the village I come from, yesterday, there was like two Finnish families living there. Everybody else was Swedish.
Okay.
But
that blows my mind because I struggle even with the English language. But you are, because we did a gig on Thursday as well, you've got that ability, English, Finnish, Swedish.
Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you actually? But is there a different way? Is it different when you go, all right, I've got to do it in English, and does the material change? Does the material change between Swedish and Finnish?
No, I tend to write stuff that is, you know, it's easy to translate. I don't do puns, for example, on stage.
Mm.
That's why Twitter is invented. You know, do the stupid puns or whatever. Just get it.
Do you like Twitter?
Yeah, I kind of like. I think it's like a thing where, you know, instead of having a stupid pun in your head, you just put it out on Twitter and then it's gone. Then you don't have to think about it.
But do you think about before you tweet? Do you actually?
No. It's just
like dance like nobody's looking, or tweet like nobody's.
Everything. Because that's what I think that Twitter was all about. It's just like, this is my current mood. Blip, tweet.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then, I mean, 1 hour later, I'm like, I don't feel like that.
Yeah,
I don't care. I mean, then and there. But I think it's a good way also to try out jokes. I actually try sometimes out that if there's something. Yeah, because then you see if there's likes or retweets, and you know, like, hey, there's something here. People are responding to this joke or this situation that people, you know, can see themselves in there, and it's like, oh yeah, that's so true. And then I could, you know, try to make a stand-up routine about it.
I just feel if you tweet it, you've sort of done it.
No.
And then the surprise isn't there when you do it live.
If you get 20 likes, I mean,
delete it and stick with it.
But no, they're not going to remember. Twitter is like candy. You throw away the wrapper, you know, just like blah, blah, blah. You don't remember what people have tweeted.
What do you do you get trolled? Trolled?
No, not that much, no.
But you're a nice. You're very nice on stage, aren't you? You're a bit rude?
No, a bit blue.
A bit blue, yeah. Rude, yeah.
Yeah.
In a kind of But you do it in a cheeky kind of way, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, and I dress smart, so people don't, you know, usually think about it as like, whoa, that was blue material, because yeah. I dress nice, so people think it's yeah, but it's a fair point.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because if you would have had jeans and you know like a shitty
scrubby,
t-shirt,
yeah,
then
yeah.
Were people like, oh, that's what he really thinks. So.
I don't think scrubby's a word, but grubby,
yeah.
I was trying to say.
Yeah.
But that was awkward as well. You took the snooze out with your tongue and put it back into the box. But
no, it's in the trash bin here.
It's like watching a magician take a snake out of a box. It's kind of quite disturbing. But you're always very well-groomed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's part of the shtick, is it?
Yeah, I tend to get away with, you know, blue material if I look, you know, like I do. I think that if I would have a beard and...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know, shitty clothes, and people would think that, oh, that's how he's actually, that's his thoughts, like for real. Now they think that, oh, that's a smart point. Yeah.
Are you...
I mean, I would never take a beer up on stage, for example.
Okay.
Because that signals something, like, oh, okay, he, you know, likes to be drunk on stage, and that's another, you know, that's not my...
You think so much about it, do you?
I think, yeah.
I to be honest, I look back at some... I think it's good to look as good as you can on stage.
Yeah.
I don't overdress. If I wear it, I would never wear a suit. I'd wear a suit if I was doing like a conferencier. But I do think I look back at some photos and I've just put on like an old t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it does not look good. You know, I look unwell.
Yeah.
I look like this is a final wish.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you have, you know, also, I don't think you don't have compromising material.
No. I mean, last we did a show yesterday and, you know, people get involved. I like the Finnish crowds. Do you think they're different from Swedish or quite?
No, I think they're quite the same.
Quite the same, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know if it's me speaking English, but both audiences are always up for just shouting shit out when I'm
yeah.
on. In a fun way, not in a ever nasty way.
Yeah.
But I love it. I mean, but last night I went on at like 11:30.
Yeah, it was quite late.
Friday night.
Yeah.
Corpio.
Yeah.
You know.
No, but I think that it's here as in Sweden. I don't know. Maybe it's more in Finland. But people also get, you know, really happy because when they realize that I actually understand.
Yeah.
This guy's English.
Yeah.
So they tend to be more happy also.
Have you had a bad heckle? Have you ever been heckled?
Yeah, of course, but not that
you
bad.
Could deal with it quite nicely,
yeah,
though.
You're
one to work with it, aren't you?
Yeah, but I usually don't get heckled. I don't have that because I don't ask any questions.
No.
For example, if I have a dog joke, I won't go out. So by round of applause, how many people have
yeah,
dogs?
Yeah.
Because and nobody applauds, I'm still going to do my fucking dog joke. That's why I don't ask anyone.
Yeah. Does anybody like dogs? Silence. Right, dogs. Yeah. But it is, yeah. When you look at it sometimes, I saw an act the other day asking for the Swedish word for like fresh potatoes or something.
Yeah.
And I said to him, there's no point in doing that. You don't, they don't care. Just, if you know it, say it.
Yeah.
You know, I try and say it, but I often say it wrong. So yeah. there's the, you know, the funny.
Yeah, yeah, but it's also that, hey, you actually try. And I mean, for example, yesterday's gig, I mean, you learned some Finnish words, and that means a lot to the crowd.
Yeah, just to put that in, so they kind of go, oh. For me, I think you can see it when somebody's just turned up, you know.
Yeah.
They're doing the same gig that they could do in Manchester. Yeah. Or I think it has to be different.
Yeah, but it's just like, I don't know, was it 3 or 4 words that you learned in Finnish?
Yeah,
but that's enough. That shows the audience that, hey, you care, you know where you are.
Giving some shit.
Yeah. And I think that's really important. And it feels so good for the audience. Oh, my God, he actually knows how to say that in Finnish.
You talk about your kids on stage.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, I take photos of my kids. I put them on social media. I talk about them. I had a bit where I was talking about my son getting naked. And I did a gig and he came up, my son.
Yeah.
I was talking about Narc and Feast.
Yeah.
And he came up and was like, I'm not naked. Yeah. Like, during the gig.
Yeah.
It was like in the archipelago.
Yeah.
And then he went, when he went back to the boat and stuff, he was really upset. And
I had
to, you know, and that moment really changed me because I went from saying, oh, he's a bit of an idiot, to this guy's a legend. I really talk him up. And I thought, if he sees the stuff, I want him to be kind of proud of it, not going, why did you call me an idiot, you know?
Yeah.
But there is something almost in that Louis C.K. kind of way where he talks about these little things he's got around, where people can relate to it in a nice way, you know?
Yeah, I think it's... but it's the same thing, like posting pictures of your kids on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. I would never put my kids on Twitter because there's so many people you don't know. But on Facebook, everybody's nice.
I saw you got something. You put up a photo of holding 2 donuts or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one guy got
really. One guy got really.
Yeah. 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 He took the elderly women's side there and was like the spokesman for elderly women.
Yeah. What's your opinion on that? Do you think anything is offensive?
No, but the thing is that I have a motto usually. I mean, if it's not racist or, you know, like really harsh, you know, toward a minority or someone who can't defend themselves.
Yeah.
If it's just a joke, my motto is just let it slide.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't like this, you know, hey, there's more pictures on Facebook.
Yeah,
don't get upset on, you know, unless it's like racist and you have to deal with it.
And for me it's like I'm way more the other way. I think about stuff before I put it. I'm constantly thinking, oh, does this sound wrong, you know?
Yeah.
No,
but that's why I don't post as many pictures of my kids on Facebook anymore because now my son is 4.5. My daughter's turning 3. And now I just feel like, okay, but now they're like grown-ups almost, you know. Now they can have opinions and now they can be like, I don't want to, why am I on the computer? And so I tend now to not to do that much pictures of them because because I think if you're like a baby and just learn to walk or something, then you don't care. You don't give a shit because you're just cute anyway. But now when they're elderly, I don't post.
It's a funny thing, social media, is it? Because I've seen people put stuff up, like my uncle is dying, and they've got like a photo of his hand or something. You know, like, why are you updating on? You know, like why am I allowed to see this? I think there's some things that, it's quite it's a nice way to go, do you know what? I've broken my leg, you know, and then everybody knows then. It's like, you know, it's like not sending birthday cards to everyone.
Yeah.
You can just write a message, you know.
And somehow, I mean, I think that Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all these different things, it's just us trying to be social. Instead of actually meeting people, but I feel that every tweet I do, it's like a cry for help. It's like, please see me, someone, please like this. So I can feel like...
Yeah, and also social media, for me, it has to entertain as well. Yeah. It can't be like, please buy a ticket.
No, I hate comedians who only post their next gigs or thank you for this gig and stuff like that.
You're
a comedian, please put on something funny there as well.
Yeah. Do you think that's important?
I think it's really important. Yeah. I mean, that's why I want people to follow me, because they think that I'm funny.
Yeah.
Or enjoy my comedy.
You do acting as well. You're in Salcedon.
Yes. Well, yeah. That's it's one year ago now since we did the last.
Is it finished now?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So that's not no more. But I'm yeah.
Amazing series. Amazing.
Oh Jesus Christ! I mean,
set Sweden, of TV. Yeah.
Had 2 million viewers every week.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I remember there was a time when it was on like Sunday nights, wasn't it?
And it was Sunday evenings, yeah, like
and
9.
People would say it really affects like the whole weekend. People were planning to get to Salcedon.
Yeah, but it was like you had to see it because people on the lunch break were going to talk about it the next day. So you
the
couldn't
spoiler,
miss it.
Hashtag spoiler, #spoiler. Yeah,
you had to see it.
Yeah, what was that like?
Well, of course, I didn't know the first season. I was just in one episode and just a small. Well, throughout all the seasons, I just had this small part, but still an important part for story wise. I played this main character's working buddy, and I planted these ideas in his head that became a funny thing later on. But yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ, it's. It was the best, business card ever to do in Sweden, to be a part. And I'm so happy that I didn't get, one episode, a huge role, but instead I was throughout all the seasons, had a small part in every, that was, even better. Yeah. So it was really good.
What kind of TV do you like? Are you into the box, being away? Because you're away a lot, right?
Yeah.
You're like me, father of two. How old are you?
I'm 40.
Fuck, I'm 44. Okay.
Yeah.
But you look 40. I look 44. Let's be honest.
You could be 36 also.
Do you like being on the road, or would you prefer
No. I really enjoyed it before the kids to be on the road, but now it's. I usually only do 2 nights away.
Yeah.
Because on the third day, if I'm 3 nights away, The third day is just like hell.
Mm.
I just feel like I want to go home. Wherever I go to, and usually there, it's Stockholm, or then it's like a smaller city in Sweden. There's nothing I want from these cities. There's nothing I have to buy or do or this city has the best jeans. There's nothing that I have. So I'm just sitting at the hotel room and then just, you're randomly walking about in the city and just like, ugh, this is boring. And just, wait 24 hours to do a 30-minute set.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 23 and a half hours.
A bizarre job, though.
Yeah.
Because you are literally working all the way up to do 30 minutes.
Yeah. And sometimes even less.
Sometimes
20 or 25.
But and do you get that angst of going away? I get a bit tense. And then sometimes you go back and the kids are like, oh, it's that guy. Who's that guy? I want them to be a big part of,
I remember one of these Finnish comedians, he worked so much that his kids started to call him by his real name. Because
probably his stage name.
No, they didn't say dad anymore. They just said his name because their mom always talked about him like with his real name. Not their dad is away. It's just like, no, he's away again. And then he felt, oh, this is not good.
Okay.
I want them to call me dad. So I have to be more home.
What do you want from me? No, what do you want from like life? Like, are you're content? You're a content man, aren't you? You're happy with where it's at?
Yeah, no, I would like to do some more TV, doing characters or something like that. I mean, I'm quite happy and with my stand-up, but I know that I need something else also. If I only do stand-up and nothing else, I get bored.
Yeah.
So I need something like Solsidan or like...
A project.
Yeah, I did an English thing where I played this Finnish engineer.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. So project projects like that, that keeps me happy because I can do something different also. Otherwise, if it's only stand-up or if it's only a TV show.
Do you do political stuff at all?
No.
No, don't touch that.
No, because... I mean, if you take a stand for something, usually nowadays it means like, oh, they would put you in a, you know, oh, he's on the right wing side, or oh, he's a lefty.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, whatever you say is like, yeah, well, he says that because he's a communist, you know. Jesus.
Yeah, I don't touch the politics. I don't know enough.
Yeah, that's how I feel also. I don't know how this system works. And I just noticed I've been around for 40 years and I've seen different parliaments and seen different, settings there with different political parties. And I haven't seen any change, really.
No.
They haven't been like, different. Well, when they had power, you know, I paid no taxes.
Yeah,
there's nothing like
that.
It
was free cheese back then. Yeah. And now it's...
Yeah, so I don't really see... It's not that... It's easy to see that when they had power, things were so much better.
But I also look at people like that guy Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
And everything I hear from him, I go, he sounds awesome. That's the guy.
Yeah.
But then the media kind of are so right wing that they kind of, you know, there's a whole thing today about...
Yeah, but the thing is that Bernie Sanders would probably be the best candidate if we were electing a president for Europe.
Yeah.
But and it's so interesting that we here in Scandinavia or the Nordic countries are so, you know, like, oh, they shouldn't, Trump is bad, and we should, and like, but he's not running our country.
No, that's right, yeah.
And it's interesting that
people in New Zealand are getting angry about Trump. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. Why? You know, yeah. Like...
I mean, we don't care about, you know, Putin or who's in charge in Russia. It's like, well,
whatever. Finns don't care about Russia.
No, of course.
Do you know, last time I was here.
No, but the thing is that we're not that, you know, if there's an election in Russia, we're like, well, it's probably rigged, so whatever.
It's
not going to change anything.
Yeah. Are they still scared of Russia, Finns?
Well, of course, a bit. I mean, after the Crimea thing.
Yeah. That's when I was here last time. I didn't start it, but they were very like, oh shit, this might happen.
Yeah, you don't know.
Some people got letters saying this is where you have to be. Did you get one?
No. If you went to the army, it was just like, what do you call it when they call you back to the army? They just do like a 2 weeks training. It was
okay.
Like keeping you up like that.
Why didn't you go to the army?
The thing is that I was 19 when I went to the theater academy.
Yeah.
But that was my two choices, army or get into theater academy. So I had nothing else. I was just, if they don't let me in, I'll do the army then.
And then
I get like 1 year of thinking what I want to do. But then
it's like the true story of Rambo, really.
Yeah.
You could have got army or acting.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And then it was 4 years training there. And then in 1999, I had a master's degree in acting. And then it was like a new draft call. Like, yep, so now come here. And I was like, no, I really want to work now.
Yeah.
Like really, really want to work because, acting jobs are, you know, it's not that easy to get them. And I just thought that, well, fuck if I'm away a year in the army and I come back. Yay, remember me? Yeah. I graduated a year ago.
Angry as well.
Yeah, you haven't seen me anywhere.
Yeah.
I have nothing on my CV.
I'm really good at forward rolls now and climbing ropes.
So I really felt like, no, I can't do this. So I just got a thing called the Green Pass, which means I don't have to enroll under peacetime.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but if it all kicks off, you'll be there.
I'll be probably, yes.
You'll be doing the acting part.
No, probably a prostitute for horny, angry men.
Again.
Yeah.
That was your first role. I don't think there's any better way to finish a podcast than you announcing to Finland and Sweden that you're going to be doing that. Thanks, mate.
No, props.
I hope this has been fun for you.
Yeah, it's short and sweet.
It is short and sweet, but I think that's what people want. They want...
Really?
Yeah.
No, I think they want 2 hours.
We can
two men talking randomly.
Keep coming back, like we were talking this morning, The Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
He's doing the sequel, sequel, which...
Yeah.
It's... There's a thing... Mel Gibson's kind of really screwed that up, really, hasn't he? You know.
But the thing is that no one thought that, you know, that there's so much money in you know, the Jesus stuff. But yeah, it is. There's so many Christians who really believes in it and really needs their own movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I like my movies, you know. I like the Hangover movies. That's like a thing, like, for me. But for Christians, I mean, they don't like the Hangover movies, probably. No,
but they don't like this, though. They don't like Passion of the Christ. They were all protesting last time.
Well, yeah, but that's how they got more viewers.
Yeah, yeah.
But a lot of Christians really, I mean, then they made this Noah.
With Russell Crowe.
Yeah, and I mean, that's just like the most weirdest story ever. That's like, that never happened.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, I mean, they did it.
They're great stories.
Yeah, they're great stories. Yeah, but I think there's a lot of money in
merchandise.
Yeah, not merchandise, but I think there's a lot of money in just people wanting to see these kinds of things.
Well, now he's doing the resurrection. He's going to do the early years as well.
Yeah, that's the thing we don't know that much about.
Yeah,
he's just born Jesus, and then it's like nothing.
Yeah, before that it was just
He masturbating
just appeared.
Yeah, they took away the masturbating years.
That's a better finish.
That's a better finish.
Thank you so much, mate.
No problems, mate.
Is there anything you need to tell people? Are you doing gigs? Nah, you don't need to do that, do you?
No. No. I don't know when this comes out, but I'll probably be in the...
20th
of June.
Yeah.
No, I'll be... I'm on vacation then.
Are you one of the big vacationers?
I love it.
You need it.
Yeah. I need it. I mean, if I just stop... I mean, tomorrow it's actually my two... I have... No, today's. I have two gigs, and that's it.
Okay.
Then I go on vacation.
For how long?
5 weeks.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I need to get away from home. I can't be there, because then it's just like an ordinary day, but no gigs.
Yeah.
It's just like the same thing, but no gigs.
So
in the evening.
How long will you be away for? 5 weeks?
I'll be away for 4 weeks.
In Spain?
In Spain, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I rented the same house as last year. And 4 weeks, yeah. That's how I, you know, get in the vacation mood.
And will you sit and write? Will you?
Yeah, yeah, but not, you know.
Not like, kids, shut up. You're not going to the pool. Papa has to.
No, not like that.
Your name's not Papa, it's Andre.
Yeah. Probably every week I will take one night off when my wife puts my kid to bed, and then I go to the near restaurant and sit there and try to write some stuff. But it's mainly just like random thoughts, and see that maybe it could be something.
Yeah.
Maybe something could come out from this. But last year I wrote like a half an hour new material.
Wow. Okay.
Being there. So it really actually... I don't know. Sometimes it's easier when you're abroad and thinking about...
When I went to Turkey, I wrote the Nemen show there.
Yeah.
And I just had an apartment with a spare room, and I had like all the stick tape, you know.
Yeah.
And it was proper Silence of the Lambs, kind of weirdo, kind of... But, amazing. And the internet's really bad there, so you don't get those distractions, and you just focus.
I remember the first... I did in 2005, I did my first solo show.
Yeah.
I did a two-hour show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. straight through, you had a break. Sure.
I had a break,
yeah.
But it wasn't like, you know, nowadays, next time I'm doing a solo, I'm doing like an hour.
Yeah,
and that's because that's what they do. I mean, in England or America, that's like
America's like Edinburgh Festival is 1 hour.
1 hour, yeah. And then if you want like 1 hour and 15 minutes, then you take someone to warm up for you.
Yeah.
So act that's a little bit.
It's always a bit strange as well, because if you get the support act and they do 15 minutes, then you can't sort of go on straight after that. I feel you have to have a break.
Yeah,
which is a bit weird after 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then you have to start it again.
Yeah.
But
I've noticed that people can sit and watch a thing for 1.5 hours. But longer than that, people actually need the break and want to go and pee and whatever. But 1.5 hours is like... I did a double act with a guy called Stan Sanila, like a stand-up show. And we did 1.5 hour without an intermission. And that worked really good.
Yeah.
But that's how long I think you can have a show.
Yeah.
But I mean, 1 hour is plenty, I think.
Yeah, I mean, even watching a TV show,
yeah,
you can sit for 1 hour, can't
yeah.
you? You know, you don't,
yeah.
you don't sort of, Although there is a 40-minute kind of a little bit of a dip.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful of that.
Yeah. But otherwise, but yeah, but when I did my first solo, I went to Greece for 1 week alone.
Yeah.
And just sat at the hotel room. So every morning I just went for the breakfast. Then I went to the beach, listened to music, read a book.
Yeah.
Then I went for lunch. Then I go back to the beach, continue reading on the book, listening to music, swimming. And then I went in the afternoon, I just went out, you know, eating. And then I went back to the room and started writing everything I thought about during the day.
It's been like 7 o'clock at night by this time.
Yeah. But then I just wrote for 3-4 hours.
Yeah.
Whatever came to my mind, because I didn't have any internet, nothing.
Yeah.
And just had my books and music, and then just sat there and wrote. And I really almost, you know, probably almost 1 hour of material I wrote there.
I think that's the way I'm going to go for the next tour.
Because the thing is that you can't do it at home, because then it's always like the dishes or whatever, laundry, and there's always a phone call and there's an email and, what's happened on Twitter? Oh, what's Aftonbladet? What do they write about? And then you have to, but there's nothing. It's just you and your stuff. And you've been 1 week just thinking about your own show. You know, and then just
it feels like you're looking after yourself as well.
Yeah, it was so weird. I was so motivated and dedicated. There was actually two really beautiful Norwegian girls living at the same hotel. It was a little bit off the center.
Yeah.
And there was two Norwegian girls coming down to the little beach, and they were like, trying to say, "Hi, do you want to go and eat and go out tonight or something?" I'm like, no, I have to write. And they were like, just like, Why would he turn us down? We're fucking beautiful. I'm doing a show here.
You've got comedy ideas, you could come along, but nothing else.
Yeah, if it's fucking you want, I'm not your guy.
That is the end. Thanks a lot, mate. We will be happy to have you back.
Yeah.
Me and everyone else. Thank you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.